Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I'm trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
Osio, Ginli, Tahiju, Tahigu, this is Elizabeth. Seem to remember who I am. Oh, yeah, Will Bluewater. And, we'll dodge the levity for now because we're going to be talking about some really serious things with my name, Geronimo Goyatle, and that's not even right. And Geronimo, it's a powerful name. He's a powerful person, and we're going to be talking to Geronimo Archuleta. He's a descendant of Geronimo. And he and my friend Tomas Eagle Bear and our other past guest, Tano King Keel, have written a book, and they were talking about it the last time he was on, and I guess it's now published. And and I was reading, I guess yesterday you guys were doing a book signing or something at the library. And anyway, tell us what's been going on since we talked.
Oh, and you, my friend. Yes, we've been.
Daote.
We just received our printings in July, and then we had Sundance in August, and now we're focusing on our promotion of the book. We have it in an Amazon, and so yeah, things are good. Things are good.
Oh, fantastic! Little background. I'm not sure I've ever. I may have met you at the 2009 Sundance. If you were the one of the six or eight guys that was sitting around with Jimmy Ten Rivers as he was passing out medicine brownies, I met you or whatever. But anyway, we've stopped a little of the same real estate. Only you've been doing it a lot longer and a lot more seriously. And but yeah, I guess I talked to Tomas, I don't know, 2-3 years ago about something, and I guess he tell us, you know, catch us up with what's going on there on the what do you call that, the front range of the Rockies.
Yeah, that's it's very interesting. I would like to begin with I'd like to open
sure.
up the door to the spirits.
Please.
The tradition that I have. This is, as an Apache, I can speak for no one but myself. I cannot represent the beliefs of anyone but myself. I pray to the Creator, to my ancestors, to the Seven Sisters. The Creator used me as a hollow bone to allow me to become a channel through which the Creator would use my hands, my voice, to do His work on this, His world. I ask that my words be like His, filled with love, forgiveness, and hope. I ask this because I allow my thoughts and my words to be harsh and hurtful. I do not want to be judgmental, to see the faults in others and condemn them by what I believe are my standards. I use this prayer whenever I speak of the Creator, and it allows me to focus my attention. And I believe that our consciousness is our attention, our awareness, and our intent. And intent is the greatest, after love, it's the greatest motivator on this world. What is your intention? Why are you doing something, whether it's for the good or for the bad? And so I was very fortunate in my journeys to experience many, many things that are incredibly unbelievable, that can be only attributed to the Creator. This last year, the year before last year, we had a spirit that was at the Sundance. Now, where we do the Sundance, it's like on three levels. Down by the creek, which, by the way, this creek is called Brujia Arroyo, Witch's Creek. And then the second level is the road that comes in. And then the third level, up higher, is where we do the Sundance. On the middle level, there was this entity, this spirit, this energy that three of the dancers were going up, and there was this column of light, and it was about 4 feet high and about 3 feet around, and it was kind of dusk, and this column of light was just there. So one of them approached it. It shot up to about 7 feet, and it frightened them. They ran off. And a couple of people had seen this light during the Sundance time. One person took a picture of the friend, and there was this ghostly woman apparition that appeared in the picture behind her.
Whoa.
At the end of the Sundance, everybody was leaving. We were we stood a couple days afterwards. My son was driving around, and him and his friend, and they approached the Sundance area, and at the entrance of the Sundance, they saw this column of light. It was about 12 feet high. They stopped and they looked at each other and they confirmed that they had seen what, you know, they were both sharing the same experience. They said, yeah, I see that. As they returned their attention back to this light, it shot up to 40 feet. My son was so affected by it that he began to cry. So that was last year. This year, I went early. I went on a Thursday and I was tired when I got there. So I just unloaded my equipment, and I was going to sleep in the front of the truck. I was laying down, and for some reason, You could see the aurora borealis sometimes in this area. And the aurora borealis, the northern lights, clear down in southern Colorado. It's spectacular. So I decided, I'd say, hey, I see that aurora borealis. I'm going to sit up and check it out. As I sat up, I could see this light from the second level was bouncing around like a ball of lightning. And I observed it as it was bouncing around, and every once in a while it would go between this clearing of trees, and I would see this bright light like a flash cube when somebody takes a flash picture. And then it would just continue bouncing around. I stood there for about an hour, a little bit more. I had a couple of cigarettes, and then I remembered that you control this world with your words. You create this world with your words. My grandmother said, you came into this world with nothing. You leave with nothing, and all you have is your word. And if you say you can or you say you can't, you're right. As I watched this, I was getting tired, and I finally decided I would use my word. So I spoke out loud. I said, go away. I don't need you. Go to a place where you'll do no harm. I laid back down on the seat of the truck. I looked up out the windshield of the truck, and it stopped. It'd been going on for over an hour. And when I said my word for it to stop, it stopped. So that reinforced what I have been taught about using your word. I use that. I use that in my teaching. I use that in my practice of helping people. And it's been a good experience. I was able to help two people that were there.
Outstanding. Wow, that's quite a story, yeah. How interesting. Yeah, it's really interesting. And now, have you ever been up to that little area that's... Jimmy Tan Rivers took me up to an area that has a couple of... two or three fire circles, but it's right next to a creek, and he said that's where was rumored that he's done some treasure hunting, and he wanted me to go up there and see if I could help him find some stuff, because I know how to do it with dowsing rods, strong magnets, and a pure sample of what you're looking for. And well, there were sure indications there were silver up there. And both of, yes, strong indications. There was a thunderstorm coming in. We had to leave. But I had told them, I said, both of the fire circles, and I kind of wondered, you know, maybe the fire circles were built by whoever buried the gold so they would look innocuous enough. But I got an indication as I was walking toward the circles, about 40 feet away from the center of the circles, you get an indication when your dowsing rods push back, and then when you get over right over, it starts to spin. So anyway, I don't know whether you ever went back and found out anything, but that sure was a fun trip. And but I think you know where the area is.
There's a lot of minerals up here in Colorado.
Oh yeah, you know,
mining was very great part of making the state. There's what you would refer to as energy spots, where the energy emanates from the earth. And so it's very possible that you were feeling that energy. And like the effort that you put into to look for precious metals, I personally don't wear any jewelry of any type, or any gold or silver, because of what happened to all the people, men, women, and children that murdered for those gold and silver. And so in honor of their death, I don't wear any of the precious metals.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to keep yourself pure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Walking in a sacred manner, that everything that you apply your intent, your awareness, and your attention to raise your consciousness. And when you raise your consciousness and you ask permission, then it opens up the doors to the ancestors, the spirits that watch over and protect you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I don't want to get ahead of you. I don't want to interrupt your chain of thought there. I am anxious to hear about the book, but go ahead.
Well, my section of the book is dedicated to my seven generations. They say that everything you do directly affects seven generations. Well, my great-grandmother, my grandmother, my mother and father, my brothers and sisters, my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren, who I'll never meet, I dedicated this book to give them an understanding of our ways and the things taught to me by my grandmother. I was fortunate to live with her for 3 years, and it set the foundation for my wanting to be able to know more about our traditions. My other members of my family, not so much, but I was influenced her to some great extent. I asked her one time what type of Indian we were, and she said that we were Indios de Aguilar. We were Indians of the eagle, and our hands, when we spread the fingers out, resemble the claws. I have my little fingers are crooked. And of all the male members of my family, I'm the only one, because it's usually a tradition of the Apache to follow the mother's lineage. So I was fortunate to be part of that and sharing that, to be Indios de Aguila. I asked her one time why we didn't do more ceremony, why we didn't speak more Apache, and she said that when she was growing up, that if you said you were a Mexican or you said you were a they would beat you up and throw you in the mud and spit on you. But if you said you were an Indian, they shot you where you stood without any explanation. It was an eradication and a genocide of the native people. Because the circle is our belief, the beginning and the end, whereas the European is the square. They believe in the four pillars of Solomon and the circle will never fit within the square, and the square will never fit within the circle. There will always be that outside fringe. So that's why they're not compatible. They could not convert the Native American into the square. They tried. They took the children and put them in boarding schools and cut their hair and tried to force them to become a part of their belief system. And they who left Europe to because of the persecution of their religion, came into our world and demanded that we be religious, be a part of their religion. I'm reminded of an elder who said, when the Europeans came into our world, we owned the land as far as you could see and beyond. They brought with them a book that told the story of their God. They asked us to pray with them. They handed us the book. We closed our eyes. We prayed with them. When we opened up our eyes, they owned the land, and we owned the book. So we have slowly begun, and we have become one nation. All of the indigenous tribes are now one nation, the natives. The native people. It's interesting how our society has labeled you either be Mexican American, you're Chinese American, you're Spanish American, you're even Native American. But you have to be half one and half the other. And they can only consider themselves to be American. So I have chosen to call them European Americans. They are also a part of two different beliefs. I think I've been motivated lately with what's been going on with Standing Rock, and I've been asking a lot of questions, and some things have come to my attention that I had forgotten. They stopped teaching civics in 1969 after the murder of Martin Luther King. And the reason they stopped teaching civics is because we live in a dual government. We have two separate court systems. The murderer of Martin Luther King was charged with violating his civil rights. O.J. Simpson was acquitted of murdering his wife, but was found guilty of violating Jeff Goldman's civil rights. On the dollar bill in the front, it says, "This is legal tender for all debts, public and private, civil and federal." On the back of the dollar bill, there are two seals. One seal, they all see an eye pyramid. The other one is a seal of the state. Now, when you have your driver's license, your name is written in capital letters. This indicates that you are a part of the state. As a part of the state, you are a ward of the state. The Native Americans on the reservation are issued a Social Security number, and they are also issued a government identification number that they are a registered member of that tribe. Why was it that the natives protesting the pipeline were shot with rubber bullets, hit with percussion grenades, water cannons when it was near freezing weather, and dogs, attack dogs on children and grandmothers? Because they were wards of the state. As a ward of the state, you are entitled to, but not guaranteed, food, shelter, clothing, and medical attention. This is the reason we have a welfare state. We have Medicaid, Medicare, we have public housing. But these are entitlements, they're not guarantees. If you are a ward of the state, it's the same as being a prisoner. And you are not guaranteed anything. But as a part of the government, as part of the official constitutional government, you have the rights guaranteed to you by the Constitution. Since the beginning of the year, I've heard four prominent politicians mention, "I carry my Constitution with me." That was Michael Pence was the first, Jeff Sessions was the second, Brannon, what is his name, Steve Bannon? And then another congressman state publicly, "I carry my Constitution with me." When you're involved with anything dealing with the Constitution, you have to proclaim that you carry your Constitution with you, a certified copy, and you have a certified copy of your birth certificate. This is accomplished with a passport. Then you are guaranteed the right to assemble, the right to freedom of speech, the right not to speak, all these things that are guaranteed in our Constitution. Why were the protesters in Charlottesville carrying Nazi signs, speaking out profanities, carrying loaded AK rifles? Because they were constitutionalists. That's why we have two parties in the political system, the Democrats and the Republicans. Republicans tend to be more constitutional. The Democrats tend to be more civil. And so these the only two parties exist because there's only two governments, or two, the double eagle that we exist under. So it's becoming more and more important with the passage of the Homeland Security. It is now an act of terrorism to protest against the government. Now, the people of Standing Rock weren't protesting against the government, but still, they were not considered human beings. They were considered wards of the state. So from here on, it's a new battle. It's a new world. There's many things that have come to my attention that are, for whatever reason, if you open up yourself to knowledge, it will come to you. And with the passing of this, the last eclipse, brought up many questions. It was a sign. those that are into astrology understand that the different zodiac signs will follow each other. I was raised as a Catholic, and I've read the Bible many times. I've also read the Quran, and I also got into the India's books. But in the book of Revelation, it speaks of this astronomical thing that the Virgo was going to be crowned with 12 stars, with the moon at her feet and the sun at her shining over her shoulder.
Oh, you're talking about the configuration. Yeah, I saw that star map. That was very interesting.
And Leo the Lion only has 9 stars, but on the 23rd of September, it will have Jupiter, Saturn, and Venus in its constellation, which gives it 12 stars. What I found interesting is that last time that this star configuration occurred was 2,000 years ago. And prior to that was another 2,000 years ago with the birth of Abraham and then the birth of Jesus. And now these times, what it means is yet to be seen.
Wow.
But I find that very interesting. It's a prophecy that was written in the book of Revelations.
Well, yeah, gee whiz, you know, Book of Revelations clearly talks about, you know, when I talk about the tree of life, well, there's only one tree, and it looks like a little Christmas tree. Not hemp, but cannabis. And it speaks of it having 12 fruits, and that it grows on either side of the river and in the middle of the street, and 12 months out of the year. Well, it's when the first drug czar back in the 30s, Harry Anslinger wrote in his memoirs that he was in New York State for some reason, I can't remember why, standing on a bridge. He was looking down the river, and he says, "Oh, I saw marijuana growing on both sides of the river for miles and miles." And he says, "I was thinking about the meager money that we had from Congress and how few agents that I had and that we were tasked for destroying this." He nailed it because, you know, for over 2,000 years, cannabis has had 12 fruits known as commodities that were traded worldwide. So there's a lot in Revelations and there's an almost perfect description of a UFO, you know, when John said that he heard a voice in heaven like it was a Trump loudspeaker, and the voice said, and a door opened in heaven. And he says, "Voice, come up here." And he said he saw 24 elders sitting around in a circle around what looked like a throne, and that there were the image of 4 beasts over the throne. And he says it was like looking through a sardine stone. Well, we look through sardine stone, it looks like the plexiglass, which kind of looks kind of a rainbow effect when you look through it. But perfect example of what we would think of as a starship or a bridge of some kind of a vehicle. But there's a lot in Revelations as we get closer and closer to whatever's going to happen. Absolutely, I'm with you.
I was very strong when I was religious. I'm no longer religious. I'm spiritual. But when I was very religious, I like to use quote and to try to use the Bible so that people can understand the Apache way, the Native way, of our perception of the mystery, the great mystery. And in the Bible, In the beginning, it says that God spoke, and he said, "Let there be stars and planets of all kinds." The vibration of his voice created the universe. And then he said, "Let there be life, plants and animals of all kinds on this planet." And then he said, "I will create man in my image." The vibration of his word created the universe. Your word. When you say, they asked, Moses asked God, what is your name? What do I call, tell the children of Israel, what is your name? He said, I am that I am. So when you say, I am going to do this, or I am going to do that, or I am going to do something, then you are using Creator's name to create your world. You know, the Native Americans, the Apache, myself, I believe that Creator is in all things that are alive have the spirit of the Creator. It is not known that any plant or animal would ever consider suicide as an end to life. We were given that free will, that opportunity to make that choice. And our choices and our words create our world. Say you can, you say you can't, you're right on both statements. To use the power of your word. Vibration is another area that has taken a fascination with me in the last year or so. Chakras of the chakras of the body, from the root chakra all the way up, vibrate at a different vibration. And these are called the sulfurigral vibrations, the creation vibrations. These are the sacred vibrations that were changed because these were also the part of the vibrations that were able to find the resonance of the vibration of a stone and neutralize its gravity and were used to build the pyramids in Egypt and into Mexico and into the South Americas. They were able to find that where that stone resonated and use that vibration to nullify its gravity. We use these vibrations in our body. The heart chakra vibrates at the earth tone, 528 hertz. And it resonates in fire. It resonates in the sound of the wind, the water rushing in a stream, and the air. So this heart chakra is our connection to the earth. And we have to have it. It is part of us. If you're deprived of being resonating with our earth, with our mother, then it makes us ill. We become diseased, or diseased, as they say. You're a diseased person. Well, you're diseased. You're not at ease. Most of our problems that we have in our life with our health and our mental attitude and our spiritual attitude is because we become diseased and we don't have balance. Finding balance as your chakras. The highest chakra, the crown chakra, is our God's eye, our connection to a higher being, to a higher intelligence. Some see it as extraterrestrial. Others see it as being godlike. It's our God awareness. As we raise our chakras up, we create what is called Kundalini. Kundalini goes out from the God's eye and returns back to the root chakra. When you're with a partner to create life, your Kundalini, your life force energy, goes out and meets the Kundalini of your partner and creates that form of a heart, but also brings in the energy of life, and a child is born. So there's many, many, before the ancients, we had the knowledge, but we didn't have the understanding completely, and now through these many centuries of gathering knowledge from all the tribes of the world, we are in the age of awareness. And the shamans of Central America said that it is time now to share this knowledge. Before, a lot of the tribes did not want to share that knowledge. It was only kept within that community. But now is the time that with the internet and everything else, that you can't hide knowledge. You can't hide the knowledge of the Masons. You can't hide the knowledge of the Incas and of the Aztecs and of the European and the churches of the different religions. It's time to share that knowledge. And it opens up our awareness. It opens up our purpose. People ask me, what is the reason? Why are we here? What is my purpose? And I can only think that our purpose is to help each other. We're all going down the same road, and we need help from someone else when the road gets hard on this journey of life, of knowledge. We came from a place of perfect love, and we return to that place of perfect love, and we'll be asked, what did you learn? I learned to love, and I learned to forgive. The Creator is pure love. In our journey to get closer to the Creator, we have to learn how to be perfect in our love unconditionally. Too often that most people will say, I can forgive, but I cannot forget. Then you're not truly forgiving. And you have to be able to let it go. How is that possible? How can I possibly not forget? Because, I ask the question again, what is the opposite of love? Most people respond, hate. What is the opposite of hate? Well, naturally the answer would be love. My answer is it's apathy. It's not caring. So as long as you carry an emotion, whether it's love or hate, you cannot let go and you cannot forgive. I think William Shakespeare said, love me or leave me, you're still thinking of me. When you can truly not care, a person standing on the street, I don't know them, I don't love them, I don't hate them, I don't care. But I can say that I love them because they have not given me a reason not to love them. When you tell somebody that you love them, you're giving them permission to hurt you. But you hope that they love you in return, so they will not. And we continue. We continue to struggle. We continue to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. We're all capable of making mistakes. The first time that you make a mistake, you can be forgiven. The second time you make that mistake, then it's a choice. And you keep continuing to making the same mistake, then where does that forgiveness go? It's your choice. People don't want to accept that they made a bad choice. They rather blame somebody else. When someone asks for advice, it's an excuse to blame someone else. Well, I was just doing what you said to do. Right now, I'm a very, very much at peace. I found this peace by understanding how to interact with other people and not to hurt them. And our words are the only thing that can cut to the soul. Once your soul is cut, the way that you feel about yourself, when you speak bad words about yourself, you can bring yourself into sickness and dis-ease. And you can also inflict this on other people. So choosing your words are very important. I just can't stress that, how important our word is. Keep repeating that. The ability to heal comes from love. When you love yourself and you forgive yourself, then you find peace. And I was very sick at one time in my life. I almost died. I was admitted into the hospital with diabetes, and I had given up. I no longer cared. When I went into the hospital, my blood sugar was 1,280. My blood pressure was 375 over 213. My eyes were buds out. My tongue was swollen. I had to keep water in my mouth constantly because I could never quench my thirst. I would urinate every 45 minutes, 14 to 16 ounces. 45 minutes every hour. I could not even sleep an entire night. I kept a jug of water in a bucket next to the bed. So I couldn't even make it to work. My commute to work was about 55 minutes, and I couldn't go more than 45 minutes. I'd have to pull over the side of the road and throw up the hood and urinate because I couldn't even make it up to work to the restroom. When I left the hospital,
a month later, I went to Sundance, and I was using insulin twice a day and taking my blood sugars and all that. It made me feel worse. It was the worst part of my life because I was giving up again. I wanted to get well, but I couldn't. At that Sundance, they performed a ceremony that I have never seen before. There was 25 Sundancers, and the community is not allowed inside of the arena, the arbor. They allowed the community to line up, and each one of the 25 dancers stood before each of the community members, and they prayed for their healing. Myself, I returned the prayer to give them strength to continue their dance. And I left there, and I dropped the vial of insulin, and I started panicking. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I need my insulin. And then I stopped myself, and I spoke out loud, "No, stop this. If it means changing my world, changing how I live, because it was my lifestyle that made me sick, then I had to do that." And I did. I changed my world. Once you make your commitment to live healthy or to live sickly, it's your choice. But we want to be victims. We want to let people know, feel sorry for me. Oh, the poor me. Don't you see how I suffered? Or we could be predators and be aggressive. Or we'd be scavengers and just live off the discards of others. Or we can become parasites and just draw the life force from someone else and live a carefree world and then only return enough so that that person, the host, will continue to survive and to provide for us. And they use their word to institutions and to people to help them because they can't do it. When you finally realize that we are at the top of the food chain and at times we have to be aggressive or passive, all these things to survive. And we do what we have to do to survive. But as a warrior, you stand on your word and to your commitment to live a good way. I've been very fortunate to be able to survive that experience, and I should have died. There's many people I spoke to says, "Well, you should have died," and I agree. It was at a time in my life where I didn't care for myself anymore. I didn't care if I lived or died, and I let it go. But it was not my choice. It was something the Creator had already predestined. That was part of my experience to be able to share with others to help them. The experiences that you go through, both good and bad, are to share with those that are going through those bad times. But it is part of their experience. You can't deny them that that was part of their path that they chose when they came into this world. Continuing, yep. Continuing with our book, Tomas wrote his section. And Ernesto wrote his section. I'd rather not comment on theirs because that was their opinion and their journey. I really worked very hard exposing myself. Basically, when I was 6 months of age, I had a vision. My mother was returning back to work, and I was the last of eight children. And she said, "Remember this." She was nursing me. She said, "Remember this because I have to go back to work and I will never be able to nurse you again." And for whatever the reason was, I did. I remembered. And I remembered rolling over, looking at her, and falling asleep. And I had a vision at 6 months of age where I walked down this wash. And as we went down this wash, I walked with this spirit. And this spirit would stop each time that the wash would change directions and would ask me a question. I don't remember most of them because they were already passed, but the parts I do remember, he asked me, "How long did I want to be here?" And I said, "I don't want to be here if I have to be a burden on anyone. I didn't want to be, I wanted to go quickly." And he asked me, "Well, how do you want to go?" I says, well, I want to go quickly because I don't want to suffer. And I couldn't imagine. And I hadn't imagined myself being bedridden and being taken care of the last moments of my life. And I shuddered. He says, I cannot tell you when or where, but I had to ask. We continued down the wash. He asked other questions. What type of infirmity or sickness do you want? I said, I don't want to be sick. I don't want to be crippled. He said, it's part of your journey. You have to be able to experience this. And he started mentioning all these different diseases. And I didn't put them in the book because I couldn't spell them, like encephalitis. I didn't want to look up the spelling of these big words, medical conditions. But I had believed that I had been in perfect health except for this diabetes, which I control with proper resolve. We entered this clearing at the bottom of the where the wash entered into a small creek. And in this clearing were three corrals made of iron pipe. He said, this is where you will stay. It was beneath this beautiful snowy capped mountain range. He said, this is where you will stay. Your job is to fill these corrals. So I spent most of my life collecting three of everything. And three cars, three houses, three children. When my mother passed away, I was in the kitchen lamenting and cleaning the stove, and I called out, I guess that makes me an orphan. My daughter, Estrella, was in the other room, and she called out, no, Dad, that makes you a dad. And that was an epiphany. I realized that those three corrals were my three children that I had to fill with knowledge of their ancestry and their legacy. When I waited till I was 30 years old to begin a family, I dedicated myself to four objectives. The first was to teach them about the Creator and protect all of His creations. The second, to allow them to take care of themselves, learn, teach them how to become self-sufficient. The fourth, that they were a product of love. They were not a mistake, that they were wanted. And the fifth is a lesson that I am teaching them now, that when we all come to the end of our road, to the end of our journey, that we cross over with honor, dignity, and respect. When we our children, as ourselves, from the moment they're born, live their own lives. And as parents, all we can do is protect them and guide them and hope that we have lived a good life so that they can see, you know, our journey. It's been good.
It's true.
It's been good.
it's really true. I was not to interrupt you, but I just want to make sure now you've got I was looking for a picture of you. Now I think I found one on your. Now you have a son that's your namesake, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, and I found a picture. I think it's you standing. It looks like you're backstage somewhere. One of your sons is wearing traditional dress and dancers. That's you. Oh, you're wearing all black.
Yes, yes. That was at the powwow here in Denver. Denver March powwow.
Gotcha. Okay, I got the right person. So that's good. That's good. Well, you've got some you got some real insights there. It's really really something. And you know, I was thinking about what you said about Charlottesville. Yeah, they're, you know, whether they're, it's really funny talking about the Constitution. It is Constitution Day, by the way. But
yes,
yeah, they're protesting under the Constitution, but they want both sides, you know, one wants to go their way, and the other wants to go the Stalin way, you know. So, but yeah, without the Constitution, they could. It was an experiment to begin with, and you know, Ben Franklin said right after they formed the government, a woman asked him, "Oh, what kind of government have you given us?" And he says, "A republic, if you can keep it." And but we had the seeds of our own destruction, you know, right in it. And but that's, I guess that was a special thing about America. And it's going to be really interesting to see what's going to happen.
Well, it's always been the ploy, the plan of those in power to use fear to to govern and control. And the greatest way to perpetuate fear is through ignorance. I have the ability as a predator, because I am closer to the Creator, that you must listen to me. And politics and religion are the two tools that the predator uses to the weak and to the elderly and to the young. It's not letting them understand what is going on. That's why I believe that they stopped teaching civics in 1969,
yep,
when Martin Luther King was killed, because they did not want people to understand their rights.
Now, in California, that started in 66. It's really interesting because I was in fifth grade in that year, and the sixth graders, that was the first year they weren't required to take a Constitution exam. And, yeah, you know, and you leave school, and 40 years later you wonder what's gone on. Well, nobody knows. I mean, you can walk up to the average. I mean, you go to Berkeley and ask any of those, most of those guys on the street about how the government's supposed to work. And after a while, you begin to realize they have been kept totally ignorant. And ignorance, and that's by design. It's not hard to figure out. It's by design. And
for control, yes.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. You know, say what you want to about Brigham Young, but he said, he wasn't very prophetic when you really, really, really read about him. But he said that public schools, that would be the seeds of the end of this nation, would be in public schools, because and it kind of made you think about, that was when they were voting and funding government funding for schools, and I originally thought that's what he meant about, you know, funding, because it's become a huge deal and a big political morass. But when the just like in Germany in the 30s, when the government has the ability to dictate what's taught in school and what isn't taught in school.
That was the purpose of the Hitler Youth.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Hitler Youth was to indoctrinate them into that hateful way of thinking.
Mm-hmm. I had when I first moved to Salt Lake in 77 rather, my barber had been in the Hitler Youth, and boy, yeah. He was, you know, an old guy then, but he sure had some stories. And there's guys like Glenn Beck that, you know, they're preaching every day. Look, we're going down that same road that Germany went in the 30s, and he says when you look at history, there's a beginning of a nation, and then there's a middle period when things become destabilized to a tipping point, and then after that, you know, it's anybody's guess. And he really believes that we've left that beginning period, and we're now in the middle period, which he says it won't last long. And of course, you know, I believe, and you probably do too, that the whole reason why the country's going down the tubes is because people, for whatever reason, well, they're leaving the churches, they're losing faith, and could they? My gosh, you know, look what happened, and not everybody. But like you said, we're becoming aware, and boy, it's going to be an interesting ride. That's all I got to say.
The way I look at it, I look at the Catholic Church. As I say, I was raised as a Catholic. In 1960, they had a Vatican Council. And they radically changed how the church dealt with the congregation. It used to be in Latin, and they would say the mass in Latin. The reason they said the mass in Latin so that people would not know what they were saying. The song, the Hokey Pokey, you put your left hand in, you put your left hand out, you put your right foot in, you turn yourself about. This was to mock the Catholic Mass. The Protestants were mocking the Catholic Mass because they didn't understand what was going on, and they would say that it was all a hokey pokey. The church was able to change, to evolve after thousands of years, but the government refuses to change in just 275 years. They continue to want to be the way. Why can't it be the way it was before? Why do I have to change? Well, change is a part of life. And the keeping our mindset on just one way, one philosophy, well, the Constitution is a great philosophy, but not being able to evolve will lead to its end.
Well, yeah, I mean, we were fashioned after Rome, and no republics lasted longer than we have. Democracies last about 50 years because they just become mob rule, and republics don't last very long either. So I mean, kind of made you wonder, what were they thinking? I mean, that was during the Age of Enlightenment, and I guess they looked around at different forms of government, and they figured, well, it worked really well as long as we were guys like Jefferson and those guys. I don't think they ever really envisioned that America would become have huge cities, you know, and for such a long, long period of time. We're a pastoral country, an agricultural based country, and we had co-ops, you know, rather than communism, you know, we had cooperatives, which is, you know, everybody gets together. They still own what they produced. But, you know, it's just like in Michael Moore's movie, Capitalism, A Love Story. The businesses in Detroit that survived, the owners bought the companies and operated them as a cooperative, and they just thrived. And, I wrote an e-book about 10 years ago. It's called All Things Common. The tribal way of life that Jesus taught. And it's amazing. It can be done both in a city like the Hasidic Jews have done, and other groups, the Chinese, you know, having their own banking and their own storehouses and everything. But it could be done in the country, like by the Hutterites and the Amish, and they just, you know, keep it a little separate from everybody else and do business with each other and try not to become a bigger thing, because if it gets too big, a community, it just ceases to work. You have to go out and form another, and that's what the Amish have done all over North and South America. And but they'll tell you that there's no way that they could, you know, have a nation. You know, they've got to have small co-ops and live together and know each other, and it's a tribal way of life, and it works.
Well, there needs to be a balance of the isms, capitalism, communism, socialism.
Sure.
These isms, sure, have to have, they work in different areas, and they have to work in cooperation the same way you're talking.
Yeah.
In the Aztec belief, the world tree was the separation from day and night. The prime meridian separated the east from the west. The equator separated the north from the south and gives us those four sections that we call the wheel, the medicine wheel. The east, the dark, the night, is focused on the south. Hinduism, Confucianism, all of these focus on betterment of the south. The eastern...
Oh, hey. Hang on. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, the eastern religions...
Go ahead.
The eastern religions are the Islamic, Christian, and Judaism are focused on the material world. And there's a balance between the south and the material world. But that's why they believe in the East that God allowed them to control this world. And in the Eastern religions, they believe that it is your creation.
That's
so
true.
These two energies,
hey, we've run,
these are two major energies.
I'm sorry, we've run out of time. And
okay.
I sure appreciate you, and we'll get together again soon.
Okay,
and
sir, thank you very much.
If you see Tomas, give him a just tell Blue Otter said to give him a hug.
I will. I'd like to thank those spirits that came to us today that wish to help to remain, those spirits that wish to do harm to go to a place where there's no harm. Oh.
And thanks for your wisdom teachings. It's talk to you later. Bye bye now. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church, or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us, and you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now.
Sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. This is Will Bluewater, encouraging you to obtain an authorized participant or AP card and become a federally recognized Native religious practitioner. Presently, Aklavan Native American Church is the only Native American church spiritually blessed by the Rosebud Reservation Native American Church and has a certificate of existence in the state of Utah that is authorized to worship on or off tribal grounds and has met the standard of sincerity and vow of poverty standards in the state of Utah and federal courts. This card is designed to assist all people regardless of their racial makeup, political affiliation, social and or financial status, and receiving their constitutional rights. This card is also designed to assist United States judicial officials to honor their solemn oath to protect and exercise the principles of the United States Constitution while carrying out their duty and serving their fellow citizens. To join the movement that is strengthening and exercising the principles of the United States Constitution, please obtain your AP card by visiting NativeAmericanChurch.us today.
Dry ground, sagebrush and mesquite and chaparral around. Out away is a big dust devil moving on its way. I guess they're never still. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. The high grass and the cedar, the mighty oak and the tiny flower, the sandstone and the valley. Mountains high and running streams. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. One with